Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living, business edition. Grab your coffee. I have my matcha or whatever it is that you're drinking. No shame here. If you're drinking wine, I'm down with the wine. So no shame. But let's talk about talking. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about communicating, making sure that we're messaging accurately. Like, how do we get the word out about what we're doing? I mean, I know this problem so much, obviously, like as an intuitive, it's like, how do you explain what you do? I invented this thing called the soul reading. How do I explain what a soul reading is? And there's a lot of different ways in which you can do that. I think also sometimes we're also explaining what we're selling in the wrong way. Like, we don't actually know what really is resonating with the person on the other side. And that could be a mix of like, how do you sell your product or your service? Like, how are you communicating it? Or even like, once you start getting on podcast or media, you know, opportunities, like, how do you share your story accurately? How do you tell the story of your own brand? How do you represent yourself accurately, right? So all the throat chakra kind of stuff. This episode was inspired by a question that I received through one of you guys, from the listeners, from Marissa, who is actually also a student of Soul Reading Method. So hi. And, you know, she's a practitioner, a spiritual practitioner, and she's doing something a little different than most people. So it's like, how the hell do I like explain what I do? I know it works. I know the magic. It works because the proof is in the pudding, right? Like, the client is happy. But how can I explain it in a bigger way so that more people can come my way? So let's take a second to listen to her question.
Hi, Nikki. This is Marissa. I have a question about or around communication and communicating new modalities that I've downloaded, that I've kind of integrated into my previous practice. And they're new concepts. I would say they're based in New Earth terminology, and they're modalities that I've just learned work in my sessions with clients, but I have some trouble communicating and marketing it. Do you have any ideas or any coaching or any tips on how to better bring that energy of those modalities through so that others can understand and resonate? I guess the resonation would come from me believing in them. So I'm getting right now that I maybe need to believe in them more, but could you kind of dabble into or tap into the energy and understand how I may better communicate them? Thank you so much. I love you.
If it's all right with you guys, I'm going to start by answering this question with a story first, as I usually do. So early on in my work, I finally got to a place where I felt like pretty good about what I was offering. I knew people needed it because in different ways they were like asking me for it. And I had conversations with friends and I knew that there was a problem in the market. I had a sort of solution. This was specifically, I think, with my I had like a dating course. I remember when this started. And this is a problem that has continued because it, you know, expressing what you are, what you're selling, what your services are, I think is it's a constant evolving thing. Like, I don't think it ever stops. I think the way you might have described your ceramics business a year ago is different than the way you're going to describe it today. So I think you're always learning, not even to do a better job, but to meet people where they currently at. For example, like I, you know, started off talking about like really weird metaphysical stuff like spirit guides many years ago, probably like, I don't know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago. And the way I had to describe it then is very different than I have to describe it now. It's still the same thing, but more people are willing to have the conversation now. And actually what's funny is that people have become more educated in the things that I teach. So now I have to catch up to like the words that they are using and not just depend on the words that I used to use. So I would say this conversation is important for everybody, no matter what space you are in business. You could be at the beginning of a product or a service, but you can also be like myself, you know, 10 years deep. So, you know, the first time I saw this problem showing up. It was really funny. I had this product. I had already been doing some readings and I was ready for like my first like group program. And it was around dating, I remember. And just like getting people to agree to join the group was like really hard. Like I was like, what is happening? Like, why are people not coming in? Or why is it not like flowing as much as I thought? Like I just thought that there was a decent amount of interest. Like why wouldn't people purchase more or like get into the group? So I started, of course, doing like what every spiritual girly does, right? I have a deck of angel cards at the time and I started pulling cards to see like what, you know, what are the angels trying to tell me? And I kept pulling this really annoying card that was from Archangel Michael, and it was blue, which is the color of the throat chakra. And it was something around the lines of like, clear up communication, like look at miscommunication. And at first I was like, I don't understand what this means. And like later I was like, oh, like I am not communicating this thing. Like somehow the person on the other side is not understanding it. Cause you can get really caught up in understanding what you do, but the other person on the other side has to be able to connect and understand what you're saying. So that was the first time that I realized this was the problem, because I had been a writer. I liked to talk and I just thought that I could lean on my natural communication skills, right? Like I think that when we get into business, we think about the service, the thing that we want to do. We think about the brand, how it's supposed to look. Like we think about all these things, but we don't think about ourselves as a spokesperson. And we don't realize that part of the success of our brand is going to have to do with us being better communicators. And I feel like, I don't know if you've ever been faced with trying to be a better communicator. Like if you're in couples therapy and the therapist says like, you guys are not communicating, it's kind of insulting because... So the throat chakra, which is the blue center in our throat, this energy center represents our authenticity. It represents like our true expression. So I think there's a part of us that thinks that like the whatever way that we're communicating, if we are being told to change it, we are being told to change ourselves. And that can be kind of insulting. You're like, well, why do I have to change who I am? Or why do I have to change the way that I communicate? I don't know if you resonate with me with that, but I feel like resistance. I remember feeling resistance. I still feel resistance to this day of learning to be a better communicator. For example, you know, Instagram, which is something I'm really trying to figure out lately. I'm investing in it and I'm trying. And I'm just not there yet when it comes to communicating on Instagram. I'm not there yet. I'm not good enough. I'm like still learning. I have to change. I'm very wordy. So like it's very small bites and it's hard for me. And it could be insulting to be like, dude, I am a like master intuitive. I have a wait list of thousands of people and I can't figure out like how to explain my message on a reel, right? It's insulting. But because it feels like I have to change myself. But the truth is, when we are asked to be better communicators, really what like spirit is saying, like what God is trying to tell us is like, you have the opportunity to be more of your soul self. Like you have the opportunity to be more of who you are. And sometimes the way you're using words is getting in the way of who you truly are and what magic is within you. So it's not that we're like asking you to change. It's that we're asking you to use the right form of communication so that you can really shine and be who you truly are at a soul level. Have I convinced you that we can be better communicators? Hopefully, and communicating ourselves, our brands, our products, our services. So hopefully you're all in. If you're all in with this and open to being a better communicator, I have a few tips that I was receiving both from my experience, but also just kind of like sitting and meditating with this question for you guys. And here is what I got. First, we want to do our best to express our message, our services, you know, our products from a place of awe. You know, we go into our heads and we're trying to use the right words or like use words that sound good, but you actually want to drop into this place of the heart or even down like into the sacral and really tap into that like childlike self where you are fascinated by this product, this service, this message, or even fascinated by the transformation of the client. And you want to stay there because, believe it or not, even if you're not using the right words, that vibration is something that everybody wants. So for example, when I first started giving out readings, I wasn't telling you, oh, like, this is what you get the read. This is what you get out of the reading. This is what I do. You know, this is why I'm great. Definitely not. Instead, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. Readings. Have you ever heard of readings? Like, do you know what an intuitive reading is? Oh my gosh, I don't really even know how it works. I'm not like completely sure. And it's kind of crazy to me, but you can get more information in one session than it would take you to get in like 10 sessions with your therapist. And I think everybody should go, right? So this place of like being in awe of the service. And by the way, I do these readings. So if you want to do it with me, cool. But if not, like, I highly recommend one. I might even throw in a story of a client that like blew me away, right? Like, it was so crazy. I was doing this reading and this information came through and I shared this and I can't believe that, like, you can't, you know, that it resonated. It's like, you can't make this story up, right? And I'm connecting with the person on the other end because I'm not trying to sell myself. I'm actually like very excited about this reading thing that I discovered, and I love it so much that I happen to start doing it myself as well. And if you do want one, which I think you should get one, you could get it with me. But it has to, so all of that explanation has to come from a place of awe, which is, you know, again, why it's important to make sure that we are selling things and doing products that we love or that we can find the joy within them. And it's happened to me before that there are certain products that I know I like should come out with because people would love them and like my people are asking for it. But if I can't find the passion from the product, it's hard for me to sell it. And sometimes that means that I just don't feel like the product or the service is good enough yet. So I have to kind of go and tweak the product until it's something that I really, really love and that I feel intimate with. So if you can't find like the joy or the passion in what you're trying to express, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to like throw the whole product away. You might have to go back into it and work on it in a way that you love it or that you understand it, and then come from that place of awe. Other sources of energy that you can come from is actually from the solar plexus, which is the stomach. This is like self-esteem and like confidence. So another place to come from is like really from a place of, I know this works. Like, I know I can do a good job. If you have the confidence, you can definitely pull from there. But I would say even, I have a little bit of both, obviously, now because I am an expert in what I'm doing. But I don't always lean on confidence. I'm usually leaning into like the heart or like that childlike joy that sounds fun for me. And that just works better for me. But there are some services or products that I do that I lean into confidence, specifically like any business offering that I'm doing. I lean into confidence there because I have it. I believe, and I know that these, like the ways that, you know, the ways that I'm teaching business, I know that they work. And the reason I come from a vibration of confidence rather than wonder in this case is because the person on the other end, so this will be my second tip, is like really putting yourself in like the shoes of your customer. The customer who's like looking to do some business like mentorship with me is lacking confidence because they're new. So I've been in business for 10 years. I've, you know, been a spiritual mentor. I have a successful spiritual practitioner business. So I have confidence because I've seen things work with time. So because that is what my person is lacking and could really need, I come and I express this product with an energy of confidence, meaning like, I believe these things work. I've seen them work. I have been doing this for a long time. I got you, right? So it's different than like, oh my God, it's so amazing that these tricks that I figured out, that they work. That's more that awe, that like kind of place of heart and like inner child. This is more like, no, listen, guys, I've done it a million times. Like, it actually works. Like, let me show you how, because that is what my person needs on the other side. As for the readings, I need the person to be open-minded and excited and open and kind of like heart opened to receive the reading. So that's why typically I am, you know, when I don't talk about the reading so much anymore, but when I do talk about intuition or whatever, which is still a hard subject for people to really swallow, I have to express it in a way that I'm not saying this is the absolute yes, this is what you absolutely need. I'm expressing it in a way that, like, we should be open about this because the person on the other end is a little scared and not sure if they should trust or if this is real, if they should trust this information. So my second tip that I wanted to share was really putting yourself in your customer's shoes. And one of the things that we want to look for is, what are they currently in need of, right? Like, if you could, you know, cover them with a magic wand and, like, grant them a, you know, a wish, what would you probably wish for them? For my business people, I just would wish that they would believe in themselves, right? You know, which at the end of the day is confidence. So it is my job to show up with that energy, because if they're going to be around me, they will absorb my energy of confidence, or at least they will observe my energy of confidence and they will learn to mimic that. Right? So it's not just like the words that I'm saying, because there's so many different ways I can explain, right? Like the different things that I'm selling, but it's also, it's the energy that I'm serving. So I want you to think about your person. And even like, okay, the other day we had Tiffany from Tawdry, who has this really beautiful jewelry line, right? She was our last guest along with Melanie. And Tawdry is, you know, selling beautiful things, like, so that women can feel beautiful and they can feel dreamy. So the way that we communicate it, some of it will be through words, but a lot of it is like, hey, like a lot of beautiful visuals, and also like, hey, you deserve beautiful things and you deserve to feel feminine, and expressing in, you know, having pictures of, like, you know, Tiffany showing up very feminine, right? Because that's the gift that Tawdry is bringing. And a lot of people on the other end might be lacking that, right? Like, they are lacking a beauty or like the femininity that they really want. Maybe they're working, they're living a very linear life, and the right piece of jewelry can make them feel feminine in a very masculine world, let's say. So it's really looking at the energy that they might be lacking and that you carry and that you could share with them. Like, you can share that energy with them. And then, of course, the reason that there's a product or a service is because that is the vessel in which you send the energy. So the jewelry is the vessel in which we send the energy of pleasure and beauty and sisterhood, right? Like, we're sending it through the jewelry. I'm sending it maybe through a course, confidence, let's say. So I want you to think about what they're missing, like, energetically, and what energetically do you offer? And then, of course, what vessel are you deciding to offer it through? And of course, I'm sure I do not need to tell you about, you know, your ideal customer. That's, I'm sure you've heard that in other places, and I'm not going to spend too much time on that. But of course, like, knowing your customer, knowing what they're suffering from, knowing what, like, you know, what do they feel like they're lacking, that they're missing? Like, why is there even interest in what you have? And being able to understand them a little bit more. You know, pro tip, you guys, ChatGPT, believe it or not, does a lot. Like, you can type in, like, I offer whatever services. My person is usually blah, blah, blah. Like, please tell me how I can communicate my offer better to my ideal person. So as long as you feed it some information, it'll give you at least, I mean, it's like by no means going to be what you're going to use to make your sales copy, but it's going to give you some really great ideas. So you can brainstorm with ChatGPT as long as you are giving it some information. Another communication tip that's really worked for me is finding stories that connect with your person. This has always been intuitive to me, and I think it's because I'm a writer at heart, so I have a lot of stories within me. I romanticize stories, I think, and I love stories. So this is something that I found specifically on podcasts. So if you know my work, I've been very successful on other people's podcasts. You know, of course, the first step is getting on those podcasts, which I'll leave that for another episode. But okay, once you're on it, you could totally get nothing out of it if you're not doing the actual communication right. And if you can search my name on podcasts that are not Soul-Led Living, right? That where I'm a guest, and you will see that in all of those podcasts, I have a little bit of a story. I definitely try to switch it up because I know that there's audiences that are crossing over. But when I'm asked to talk about intuition, I have certain stories that I know connect with people. And I have found those stories through just my own kind of like, you know, observation or whatever. And when I see people connect to these stories that, you know, when they're usually your own stories and you think they're so, you think you're so unique and you feel like they're so private, but the truth is there are people on the other side that have had very similar experiences. I can't tell you how many times people have been like, you and I, Nikki, have lived the same life. I'm like, how? Like, you live in another country or you live on the other side of the world or whatever. And they'll be like, I started off like this and then I had this and then I met my husband and we went through this. And it's really amazing how your story is not as unique as you might think, or at least aspects of the story really resonate with people. And that is truly what connects people to you. So whatever it is that you're selling, whether it, again, service, product, whatever, I want you to find the stories that, you know, are surround that service or product that can connect to the person. So for example, when I talk about intuition, there's a few very important stories that I need to share to create trust. So if I came on a podcast and just started like blurting out tips of intuition, fine. Like I think that's cool, but that's not going to make a connection. Like they might just like listen to me for my tips and like never look for me again. How do I actually make that connection with people that they want to be in community with me, right? That like, and I want people to like, I want to create community. So I want them to connect to me, not just use me for my information. They can go on YouTube and find like a random person and get that information. So why is it that people actually connect to me on like a personal level? It's the stories. So there's one story in particular that always has to be shared. And I actually, every time I speak, even if the person that is hosting me doesn't tell me to share my background, I try to share a little bit of my background because I do believe that if you're going to receive tips from me, it is nice for you to know a little bit about your teacher, is what I usually say. I'm like, I personally like to know about my teacher before I start listening to people. Like, I don't like to listen to anybody's advice unless I know who they are and their background. So one story that I always tell is I wasn't born intuitive, right? I don't remember being psychic. I had no experiences of being psychic. So that story first sets me apart, right? So there's a tons of there's mediums. The Hollywood medium is a great example. Young guy, his mom noticed his talent at a really young age, which is so beautiful. And he knew he was psychic and intuitive forever. That is not my story, but that's typically the story that we hear. And because I was trying to convince people that anybody can be intuitive, that anybody can be supernatural, I had to explain that I'm the first one who wasn't born supernatural like these other mediums. So I wasn't born that way. In fact, I was raised Catholic. I have traditional Cuban parents. I went to Catholic school my whole life. I make a little joke about, if my mom like would have seen any signs of me being intuitive, she would have shipped me off to like some sort of nun school to make sure that I removed all the demons from me, right? I can't even tell you how many people resonate with that story. Like so many people, especially my Latina community, so many of them are Christian and were raised the same way. Like it's so scary to think that you had any other gift outside of the religion, right? And I explain that story because that's what connects. And what that does, when people start to connect to your stories, first of all, they learn to, you know, they trust you a little bit more. They feel like you understand them, right? And when somebody feels like you understand them, they actually start to believe that you can help them. So you have to like let the person know. And of course, you're not going to understand everybody. There's a lot of people's stories that I do not understand. And that's okay because there's so many people doing similar work to me that can connect to other types of communities. And that's okay. But I can connect to the woman who grew up Christian, the woman who was scared to be intuitive, the woman who, you know, was raised to be professional and is around a lot of professional people, is scared to come out of the spiritual closet. Like that's my person. That's who I can resonate with. What's funny is that like the kids that I'm raising today, I wouldn't be able to connect with them because my kids are growing up with so much spiritual freedom and like different ideas and all this like openness, which like as when they get into their 20s or 30s, if they would hear somebody like me speak, they would not connect to my story, funny enough, right? So don't shy away from your story and don't think it's going to isolate anybody. It will you know, not connect to everybody, but it's going to connect to like the people that you're meant to connect with. And I share this too, like, I don't know if you guys heard me on the last episode with Tiff and Mel, like when I was kind of feeling into their businesses, I'm like, oh, like the next step for them is to really like share their stories, like actually be the face of the company in a different way. And that's because, you know, people love to connect to a person. Like even a company as big as Spanx, like people love to connect to Sarah Blakely. Is that her name? I hope I'm saying that right. You know, even though, I mean, you could consume that product without knowing who the founder is. But when you connect to, when you hear the founder and hear her story, you connect even more and you're even more likely to buy Spanx because of the story. So I want you to find your stories. Imagine that you're going to be on a podcast and that you are the face, or like, I always say, like, I'm the advocate for intuition, right? Like it's coming through me. Or even for a long time, I would advocate spirit guides and I was like the spokesperson for those things, but I have to share the stories and the stories have to say like, hey, listen, I get you. I might right now be totally in this world and, you know, very expert-y when it comes to intuition, but I can also understand where you're currently at because I was there too. And like, this is a little bit of the journey of how I came to where I am right now. So you have to always remember where you came from, because chances are you are further along than your client is. And that's probably why you built what you built, but you need to tell them how you were there as well. And I don't want you to tell a story in a way that it's like, I'm reading a boring history book, you know, like this happened and then this happened and this happened. Like, no, like really like paint, like put the color in stories, like give it details and laugh about yourself and like laugh about the story and take pauses, like very much bring that entertainer part of you out so that you can entertain the person. There's a story. I can tell my story in a very boring way, or I can tell it in a really funny kind of engaging way that makes the person want to listen. So find your stories and those stories specifically that connect to the other person. And you might have to have several stories, right? Because you might have several products, several services. There's a different, my intuition story is very different than, let's say, my stories for business. Like when I'm maybe teaching business mentorship, I'm going to share different stories there than I would share when I was just talking about like me activating my intuition, which is more for like the main, like the more the mainstream kind of person, where when I go into business is a little bit more niche. When I was talking about dating, I would share the dating stories, right? So you might have to have several stories, and the point of the story is to be like, oh, you get me, right? Like you've been there before, and really make it colorful. And it's one of the best ways to communicate. Although I'm telling you to find your story, I know that that can feel overwhelming, because the truth is when we're communicating our offerings or our products, we don't always have an hour-long podcast to talk about ourselves, right? Like nobody, you know, there's few opportunities to do that. So there's this pressure to express ourselves in these like little small bite things, right? I told you at the beginning of the show that like for me, Instagram is like such a challenge because it is a small form. You know, my social media girl, Sophie, is always telling me, Nikki, you know, this thing is 5 minute long. Like this, like one thing that I'm supposed to do like in 50 seconds, somehow I turn it into 5 minutes because it's so hard for me to be short and concise, which is why, which I should actually stop telling myself that, because that's just perpetuating. So we are going to rewrite that, guys. I am working on being short and concise and seeing the value in that. And that's, I think that's why I like books, because I'm like, great, I could just like write forever. I worked at magazines, and that was one place I really had to learn to keep it short, because in a magazine, you only have, you have a page. So like if the words fall off the page, obviously that you have to cut it. So cutting my words in writing, I can absolutely do, but speaking, I am still working on it. And I think that's overwhelming, because you feel like when you have this one shot at a 50 second reel that you need to explain everything. And if you're there, if you're in that headspace, which I'm definitely in that headspace often, then it just doesn't work. It's just because it's not supposed to be, your content strategy is not every single piece of content is supposed to tell the full story. You know, sometimes there's just content for entertainment, right? That don't tell the story at all. So one thing I would say is like, you have to think about your content strategy as the big, like this, these like small puzzle pieces, and the full puzzle is the full story of whatever you are or whatever brand you are or whatever it is that you're, you know, trying to sell. So you want to break down your stories or your information in very small, you know, like little small formats that can develop that trust. I would also say that your content strategy needs to revolve around you, your gifts, and like what you're comfortable with, right? So if you are not comfortable with Reels or, you know, or TikTok, then don't do it. Like, find another strategy. Perhaps you don't love making social media content, but you do like collaborating with a local farmer's market or a local, you know, yoga studio. Again, sorry, Tiffany, I'm talking about you so much. I know you're probably listening, but she, in the episode, she said that she was at like, it's a big like carnival that we have in Miami, but people set up booths and you can sell your products. And she, you know, went to the booth and she was selling her product and she got to see her people. Like, she is still very much on the ground, like talking to her person, even though she has a online, you know, global business. She is still using one tech, you know, one strategy, which is like boots on the ground, talking to people at festivals and like keeping those connections. And I mean, at her level, she has to have a lot of different strategies because she's too big to only have one strategy. But if you're just starting out, having one strategy like that, that's like, you know, I do all the farmers markets in my town or like in my area and I sell my plants, whatever, that is going to give, that's a great place to start. And then you will build confidence from there. And then ultimately you'll layer another strategy. So I love like layering strategies. I don't like the idea of being like, okay, I'm going to do 2 Reels and 3 TikToks and like a podcast episode, like, you know, all that, until I've been like, okay, I'm solid with Instagram. Like, now I'm going to add podcasts. Okay, cool. I'm solid with podcasts. Like, now I'm going to add YouTube. So for example, right now, my only goal is like to get stay consistent with a podcast, basically not skip an episode. We want to put the episodes on YouTube, but they are not consistent right now because we don't have that consistent yet. So that's just like not that important to me. I will add the YouTube strategy after like the podcast is solid and that like I am already in a rhythm and that I have space to add the next strategy, if that makes sense. Okay. And you want, again, you want to start in a way where it makes sense for your gifts. So the reason I was putting myself on podcasts is because I am a good storyteller and I could talk for a long time and I'm engaging. So that's a really good place for me, as opposed to doing some crazy Instagram strategy. That was not a good choice for me in the beginning, because that's not where like my gifts are, right? My gifts are in like longer form. So if I could get on longer form, that would be the best. Now, the of course, the problem with the podcast strategy and being on other people's podcasts is that you have to be able to have something that gets you on other people's podcasts, because those people have worked so hard to create trust with their audience that you're not going to just like walk in and, you know, get there. So sometimes that's why short form is necessary in our strategies. But I want you to just think about like, what's the big picture of the message that you want to give out, and how can you break that message into a lot of small things so that you are constantly telling the story and the message of like what you do, what you believe in, you know, what you're excited about, so that people can get it. Like, you don't need to put the pressure that like one podcast episode or one reel needs to explain everything that you do. That's why even when you're launching a product, like, you don't just send out one email explaining the product. You're probably sending out two weeks of emails or 2 weeks of content that explain what you are, you know, like what you're selling, right? So I think for me, it was helpful to know that I didn't have to put pressure on like one piece of content, but the content, really what it serves is it's the story in small bites. Lastly, I'm going to leave you with this very hard lesson that I learned, which I had a leadership coach once tell me, Nikki, clear is kind, which I think she got from Brene Brown, because I'm pretty sure, because she was trained by Brene Brown. And I think that's something Brene Brown says. And I was like, what? So clear is kind means that the more clear you can be with the person, like the more compassionate, maybe that's not the right word, but the clearer you are with a person, just the nicer it is for everybody, basically. So one thing about me is because I am wordy and because I have like a big heart, I'll have the tendency to overpromise because in the moment I want to give the person that thing, but then when I look at my schedule, I can't give the person that thing, right? And that lack of clarity or that kind of overpromise was getting me in trouble. It's kind of like when you're hanging out with a friend and you're like, oh my God, yeah, we should totally get together. And you're just kind of saying it in that moment because in that moment you would love to get together. But then like she follows up with you next week and she's like, how about Friday? And you're like, oh shit. So that's, and it's not that you don't want to, but it's like, I have so many things on my plate. Like to make more space to hang out with a friend is really hard in this moment in my time, in time, right? So that's kind of what I was doing. And I learned from that, like, you know, I had a few experiences with this. And what I learned was that I needed to not only tell the person what they were going to get from the product or the service with me, but I also need to tell them what they're not going to get. So communicating is not only like doing your best to like tell them why this thing is great or why they should do this thing with you, but also letting them know like why maybe they shouldn't do this thing with you. Like, let me tell you of all the things you're not going to get or like all the things that probably you might want, but like I cannot offer or that does not come with this product so that they are not disappointed like when they get into it. And people just make up their own expectations, you know, like it's just our nature to be like, oh my gosh, I thought that when I bought this, like I was also going to get like freshly squeezed orange juice. And, you know, at the Airbnb, let's say, it's so funny at the Airbnb, like, yeah, it's, you know, people, we said something about having an espresso machine because we did. And then the machine broke. I forgot to take it off of the listing. And guess what? Like everybody was like, hey, what happened to the Nespresso machine? What happened to the Nespresso? I had people bringing their own Nespresso pods because they were such Nespresso like fanatics. And like the fact that I wasn't clear was not kind, right? And it caused problems. So I've learned now that wherever I can, I also try to explain what they are not getting. Like what, you know, what doesn't come with this. And also maybe like almost like telling you, like, I just want to make sure that this is a good fit for you because there's a lot of things that aren't here. And if like, if you need blah, 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 then this is not a good thing for you. So it could also be like, in my business, right? Like I have, different like levels of like mentorship. So there are some like levels that are not good for beginners. And I had to be very clear, like if you're in this place in your business, then this is not a good fit for you. And I kind of had to tell them that like they cannot come in here because like this is not for them. So communicating is not only saying what's great and trying to like tell the person to come into your offer or into your world. It's also telling them like what we don't stand for. And I think that that could be on many different levels. I think that could even be like on philosophy, right? Like maybe you own like a smoothie shop and you're just like, listen, we don't believe in this kind of talk, or, you know, we don't believe in using these kind of materials, so, or these kind of like ingredients. So like if you're looking for those kind of ingredients, like we just don't serve them. So also like letting people know what you're not about, because in a way that actually tells what you are about. So never underestimate being clear about what you're not about. Okay, friends, just to wrap it up, I do want to answer Marissa's question who came in with a question who really inspired the episode. And I'm hoping that you'll also get something out of her question if that is the case. All of this was for you, Marissa. But on top of that, I always want to, I feel that like, you know, you might just be getting a little exhausted, but like it takes time for people to trust us. And I know in the beginning when I was embarrassed to send out more than one email, you know, that I was like, oh, one email should be enough. But it's like, no, people actually need like 7-8 emails. So my sense is that you're not explaining enough, like there's not enough, what's the word, like frequency. So becoming a little bit more frequent in your explaining and also being a little frequent in the messaging. So one thing for me is I have that Monday reading on Instagram, super long piece of content, of course. It's like the only thing that is long form on Instagram that actually works. And even if I don't do any Instagram post that week, at least my audience knows that I'm going to be there on Mondays. So I have the sense that like you need a piece, like something that's consistent, like one piece of consistent messaging so that they can count on you, and to not underestimate like the frequency of how much you might have to get through to them, because, and it could also be like kind of changing the way you're communicating. So like when you're communicating in Instagram, you know, it's a place where we're so distracted because I'm not just like following you. I'm following like 1,000 other people and I'm getting their messages at the same time. But maybe if you send me a text, even though I personally do not like text marketing. I'm like, this is the only place that I have a little bit of privacy. But let's say if you do have a small group and you can text, then that's less of a distracting place perhaps. Or sometimes even email is a little bit less of a distracting place than trying to send them a message on Instagram. So it could also be that like where you're trying to send the message that you feel like you're doing a lot of it, maybe that it is too distracting, like where you're trying to send the message, which is why usually a lot of marketers like really recommend getting people's emails, because it's a little bit less distracting than social media. So yeah, that's what I got for you. And definitely do not give up. You're almost there. Oh, and sorry, testimonials, and focus on the transformation. So what transformation is happening in the person, and lead with like, now, you know, after doing my session, my client has this, right? Like, what are the transformations that you're seeing? And, you know, talk from there. So I'm excited for what you're doing. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being with me. I hope this was helpful. Big open throat centers. And I can't wait to see all the messaging that you put out, and that messaging that is like really true and to you and super authentic and feels really good. Love you much. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.